God's word for you, 1 Chronicles 15, verses 1 to 10. In the email, I've sent an image of a kind of a rough map of Jerusalem in David's time with a wall in a tall U shape. On the center of the right side is an opening where the Gihon Springs were. And in the upper left side, little cluster of buildings, including David's palace, and the approximate place toward the northern part of that part of the hill where the tent was pitched for the Ark of the Covenant. Verse 1. David constructed buildings for himself in the city of David, and he also prepared a place for the Ark of God and pitched a tent for it. One of the buildings David constructed was a palace for himself. He may have built fine houses for various wives and their children of his as well. The palace of David is usually thought to have been on the top of Old Jerusalem's northern slope. 500 years later, when Nehemiah was repairing the city after the exile, a group of worshippers at the dedication are described as taking a route directly up the steps of the city of David on the ascent to the wall and passed above the house of David to the water gate on the east. That's Nehemiah 12:37. Remains of a large, well-built stone structure have been uncovered on the northwest slope of the old city. Adjacent to that northwestern part of the city of David. The palace's location was, as one person puts it, one archaeologist puts it, Eliot Mazar, the palace's location was a logical step for someone who was already planning a northern expansion of the city, an expansion for the temple. Now, the tent David pitched for the ark was not the tabernacle of Moses. That tent was still at Gibeon, according to 1 Chronicles 16. We might wonder whether this tent was made to look like a duplicate of the combined holy place, most holy place, with inner and outer shrines, but there are no details in the scriptures about this Ohel La'aron, the tent for the ark. It was not commanded by the Lord, but it was not frowned upon. His tent is in Salem, Asaph sang, his dwelling place. Verse 2. Then David said, "No one but the Levites may carry the ark of God, because the Lord chose them to carry the ark of the Lord and to minister before him forever." This verse tells us that David had learned the truth about his error, that using a cart to transport the ark was dangerous and forbidden by God, and that the method of transport was that the ark should be carried by men, specifically Levites, on poles. The ark was built with rings for those poles. The Lord had said, "Make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Insert the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry it. The poles are to remain in the rings of this ark. They are not to be removed." Exodus 25. Now, the original poles, or their replacements, I mean, the ark and its poles were more than 400 years old. Those poles were surely destroyed or stolen by the Philistines when they captured the ark in the days of Eli the priest, a generation before this. The ark had returned to Israel on a cart, surely without any poles, and that appears to be where the trouble about the ark's transport began. Verses 3 to 10. Then David assembled all Israel at Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord to the place he had prepared for it. He gathered together the descendants of Aaron and the Levites, from the sons of Kohath, Uriel the chief, and 120 of his brothers, from the sons of Merari, Isaiah the chief, and 220 of his brothers, from the sons of Gershon, Joel the chief, and 130 of his brothers, from the sons of Elizaphan, Shemaiah the chief, and 200 of his brothers, from the sons of Hebron, Eliel the chief, and 80 of his brothers, and from the sons of Uzziel, Aminadab the chief, and 112 of his brothers. Now, the all of all Israel here probably means all of the leaders of the people, the princes of the family, the military leaders, the priests, and anyone else who I suppose wanted to come. Here David includes specific names of the chiefs and priestly and Levite families, along with the number of representatives who had also attended from each branch. The original three families were represented, Kohath, Merari, and Gershon. The other three groups must have grown to such numbers that they felt a special distinction should be made. Both Hebron and Uzziel were sons of Kohath. This is in Exodus 6. And one of Uzziel's sons, so a grandson of Kohath, was Elzaphan, or Elizaphan, Exodus 6:22. The poles of the ark were very long, more than 30 feet, according to 2 Chronicles 3:8. That would mean 10 or 12 feet to a side, front, right and left, back, right and left, with room for about three or four men, front and three or four in back, 16 in all, or maybe five each, 20 in all. It's natural to consider that carrying the ark would have been considered the highest honor. And so the bearers were probably the six chiefs mentioned here in the text, along with the two chief priests, Zadok and Abiathar, according to 1 Chronicles 15:11. That they would have done this work, and perhaps the line in the Shepherd of Hermas reflects this, however distantly, about the 12 who were dressed in linen, each, quote, with a shoulder bare, as if they were going to carry some load. They were ready, and they were also very cheerful and eager. That's from the Shepherd of Hermas, Similitude 9, Section 2, Verse 4. It's also possible, and in keeping with certain outside traditions, that since the ark was not likely to be moved very much in the future after this, at least two very young men, newly ordained priests perhaps, might also have been included in the group so that the memory of what was done and how it was done should be preserved for as long as possible. Remember, Jesus says, what you have received and heard. It's Revelation 3:3. One of the additional lessons we learn at this account continues here, which I think is this. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, working as you work for the Lord and not for men. Colossians 3:23. Let your work be complete on earth and in heaven and to honor God. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.